1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26, Paul speaking says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Then going to Matthew 26, beginning at verse 26. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it, and gave to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink you all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Communion has various meanings and applications, but we want to share this morning some of the history of it, and what it is. Now, in your handout sheet, we have three different points there. There are more that can be done there, but we want to share with you this morning. Number one, communion is a time of remembering the Lord Jesus and what he did for us. Jesus said, "It's all if you do it, you do it in remembrance of me." The Passover feast was a time to remember when God, what God did when the Israelites came out of Egypt. And that's the way it is with Christian communion that we celebrate today. It is a time of remembering what is done. The song we just sang, "I will pass over you." Jesus shed his blood for us. And of course, the communion service is a time instituted of Jesus himself on Passover so that we would remember what he did for us. See, God instituted the Passover for Israel as a commemoration of what God did for them. They were in bondage down in Egypt. Slave taskmasters over them. They were beaten. They were forced labor. Things that were not very pleasant for them. And they were delivered out of that cruel bondage of slavery to receive the inheritance of the promised land. God performed miracles, plagues, to bring them out of Egypt. And the Passover was a feast commemorating and remembering that deliverance. Now, we sang that song, "I will pass over you." When I see the blood down in Egypt, the Passover lamb was slain, and they had to put the blood on the two side doorposts and the lintel above the door. They were not allowed to put it on the threshold, not treading on the blood. And when the death angel went through Egypt, killing every firstborn, it was firstborn not only of humans, every firstborn animal died, except those where the blood was applied to that house. That's why the songwriter says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." That death angel passed over all the houses that had the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel. Now, I wanted to almost say all the Israelite houses, but we read in the scripture there was a mixed multitude. There were probably some Egyptian houses that had the blood applied to them. That mixed multitude went with them into the wilderness, and of course the mixed multitude caused a lot of problems for them when they were in the wilderness. But this is what the Passover was. That lamb was to be taken. He was to be killed. First off, he had to be put up for a while. They had to check it, see if it was a lamb without spot or blemish. And it had to be tied up and kept outside of the camp for a certain number of days. and they would examine that lamb every day to see if a blemish appeared on the lamb, whether it be some kind of problem with their eye or something with the physical body of the lamb. They had to examine that lamb every day. At the end of the time on Passover, then, they would slay the lamb and take the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. Now, this is a type of Jesus Christ. You will read in the scripture in the last days, week of his ministry here, he went into Jerusalem and was questioned very harshly by the Pharisees on marriage, on various other things. And then every night he would go out to Bethany. He didn't stay in Jerusalem. You can read it in the scripture there, went out to Bethany. Why? Because he was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. He was that Lamb down in Egypt represented the Lamb of God. And so every type of him, that's why he got out to Bethany every night and go back into Jerusalem every day, and he would be questioned, and they would try to catch Jesus in his words in some way to find a fault or a blemish in Jesus. They couldn't find it. And then on the Passover, they would slay the lamb. Now, the Passover lamb, they weren't to break his legs. They were not to take the pertinence thereof out. He had to be roasted with fire. And they had to be eaten by the Israelites. They had to eat it with their shoes on, clothed, their staff in their hand, ready to go and prepared to go at a moment's notice. Because we know from the scripture that when the death angel passed through, the firstborn in the house of Pharaoh, the firstborn in all the houses of Egypt that did not have the blood on them, the firstborn of all the animals in all the land were dead. And Pharaoh rose up and he said, "Get out of Egypt." They were not to have any leaven at all. When we take the sacraments here, it'll be unleavened bread because there's no leaven. Leaven represents evil, represents sin, hypocrisy. And so there's no leaven in it. They had to be ready to leave in a moment's notice, and they did. This is the Passover and what it represents and what it is. We celebrate communion because Jesus, on that Passover, before he was crucified, he said, "This is the New Testament of my blood," that communion service. Now, there are some churches or some denominations, they celebrate communion every Sunday. I don't like to do that, simply for the fact that it becomes too common. We celebrate Christmas, don't we? Now, sometimes we celebrate Christmas a couple times a year, depending if the family isn't all there. They're away, maybe deployed in the military or something. When they come back, we have another Christmas. Well, that's the way it was with the Passover. If somebody was in a journey and they could not get back to Jerusalem in time for the Passover, God told Moses, okay, the next month, on the 14th of the month, they will celebrate the Passover themselves. But we celebrate Christmas as a reminder that God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. We may not have the exact date of it. There have been a lot of people saying about that, "You're not worshiping." Well, we don't worship the date. We celebrate the day that he was born. But we don't struggle with celebrating it, do we? Christmas. We put decorations up. We send gifts to one another. We don't have any problem gathering the family together as church and so on like that to celebrate Christmas. It's the birth of the Savior. Well, communion is equally important because the celebrating of that new covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. There's a nostalgic effect when we have Christmas, isn't there? Isn't it? All the stores are playing the music and everything like that. Everybody's getting ready. Christmas is coming. But for some reason or other, communion sort of gets lost in the shuffle. We don't celebrate it. We don't look forward to it as much. But it's equally important because it is a time that we celebrate our new covenant that we have, the forgiveness of sins, bondage of sin being taken care of in our life. See, God established it in the person of Christ as a time of remembering and delivering us from the bondage and the power of sin. It's not just another service. It is a special service, a time for all Christians to celebrate that we were bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The death angel passed through the Israelites' home. The song we sang, it says, judgment is coming. All will be there. Each one receiving justly his dues. Then it says, when I see the blood, it's the blood bought that are not going to be at the white throne judgment of God. It's the twice born that aren't going to be there at that. It's the twice born that'll be at the judgment seat of Christ to receive what we've done with this salvation that he has. Secondly, communion is a celebration. Just as Christmas is a celebration, communion is a celebration. Israel went out of Egypt. They went out with a lot of spoil from the Egyptians. We celebrate our freedom and our new life in Christ. Sin no longer has dominion over us. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Greater is he that's within us than he that is in the world. The Spirit of Christ coming within our hearts. We celebrate that. It's a time when we celebrate what God has done for us. Now, the Israelites celebrated the first Passover. But you have to recognize also, they had a long, hard journey to get into the promised land. It wasn't a cakewalk. And the same way, as we celebrate communion here, we celebrate it recognizing that God never promised us an easy life. He never promised it's going to be easy to be a Christian. Especially in this world that we live in today, it is not easy to be a Christian. We are considered as vile. We're considered as prejudiced. We're considered a lot of different ways as Christians. But you see, we celebrate the communion because sin does not have power over us anymore. We can be free not only from the power of sin, we're free from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is death, physical and spiritual death. We all suffer. If Jesus tarries long enough, we're all going to suffer physical death sometime. If he tarries, is coming for another 100 years, every one of us, from the littlest baby on up, will experience death. That's a result of sin. But we celebrate because we have spiritual life that once we pass from this life, once this body dies, that we are going to be in heaven. Like Billy Graham said, one day you're going to read that Billy Graham died. He said, don't you believe it? I'll be more alive then than I ever was. And that's the way it is with Christians. Once we exit this body, we're more alive than we ever were. And we live now, not under the burden and bondage of sin hanging over us, the judgment. Jesus said, they that believe not, the wrath of God abides upon them. That if they die in unbelief, then someone said, where death finds you, eternity keeps you. But we are free from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. We do not have to live in sin. So it's a time of celebrating. I'm free. Sorry says, I'm free. I'm free from this world of sin. Made Jesus my Savior, and now I'm free. The third reason for communion is a time of worship. It's a time of worship. All the elements and sacrifices were used to worship Jehovah God. They're all representative. In the Seder, the communion, there were four cups that were there. The one is the cup of redemption. And that's the cup that Jesus took and gave the disciples. Drink this. This is the New Testament. In my blood. That the redemption now is there for us. It's a time to worship because we are not free from sin because of anything we did. We're free from sin because of what Jesus did. It's been designed. Every bit of it is designed. The Orthodox Jews will go through, when they go through the Seder, the father will hide the unleavened bread and have the youngest member of the family go find it. They have to find it. And they look for it. The Orthodox Jews will have the ceremony where they will go through, they will light a candle or a flashlight to go through the house looking for any leaven. Any leaven. See, leaven represents sin, represents evil, represents hypocrisy. So they search the house to make sure there's no leaven in the house before they have the Seder, the communion, the Passover. And then the father, or the head, the master, sits at the head of the table. He puts the youngest person on his left side and the most prominent person on the right side. Now, I give you a hint who was sitting at the right hand of Jesus, the most prominent and respected of the disciples. He had the bag. John was the youngest. He sat on the left-hand side because it says, Peter, when Jesus said about one of you is going to betray me, Peter said to John, asking who? And it says, John leaned on Jesus' breast. He had to be close to him. And said, Lord, who is it? And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas because he was sitting on that side, because he was the most prominent, trusted of the disciples. And so we celebrate this time. Everything has its place in typology of what it is. The communion juice, pure juice, not fermented. Because fermentation comes because of leaven, corruption. So it has to be a non-corrupted juice that is there. And the bread, unleavened bread, because leaven represents. And so they partook of that. He said, this represents my blood, New Testament, his body given as sacrifice for us. You see, we worship because God brought Israel out of Egypt, and they worshiped God, and they sang from the deliverance of it from them, from Egypt. We worship God because he sent Jesus, that we might be saved, might be delivered. It's a time to worship the Lamb. That Lamb was sacrificed, but now it's not an animal. It is that person of Jesus Christ. As John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It's the new covenant that he established with his blood. And it was far superior to that of bulls and goats. For the scripture says that bulls and goats, the blood of bulls and goats, cannot take away sin. And that new covenant is what he says in Hebrews. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. That's the covenant that we have now. Our sins and iniquities are not covered. Our sins and iniquities are washed by the blood of the Lamb. And so we celebrate that our sins, as the songwriter says, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. They're under the blood. They're all blotted out. I don't remember them anymore. When we participate in the communion celebration, we're giving allegiance to Christ. We're honoring him and his sacrifice for us. Is a time of renewal, searching ourselves, asking God to help us as we search ourselves until he comes again. The communion service was established, instituted by Christ. It's a memorial of the unity that he wants in his people, his church, He doesn't want division in the church. He wants unity in it. He died. He purchased this unity and the church by his death on the cross. When we join together, we are walking in obedience of the sacrifice that he made for our salvation. And we do it together. We do it in unity because this is what he wants. Christ is not divided. His church is not divided. He purchased our salvation, our forgiveness, but also the unity that comes through the Spirit. We're going to pray, and in a moment or two,